What a good God we serve. Isn't he good to us? Mindful of us. Appreciate all he does and being so wonderful to us and ministering to our lives on a continual basis. He's good to us. I mean, you know, sometimes we think about our stuff we got to do. It comes and it comes to an end and it starts again. I think about the God's job never ends. He's constantly, and it's just not, he's not just looking after me. He's looking after you, each one of you, and everybody else in the world. So we appreciate his faithfulness and his goodness to everyone.
Amen.
He's been good to all of us.
Yes.
And he could have stopped and got frustrated. Every time we feel those feelings, he could have stopped and got frustrated. He could have quit. He had every excuse, millions of excuses to quit on man. But he never did. And so when you pile all your stuff up and all the stuff you don't like about it, just magnify that hundreds and hundreds of times more. Our Heavenly Father deals with it on a daily basis. That's what he deals with constantly. So we have to make sure we understand the principles of God and goodness of God when it comes to his word. So we dealing with some, again, this 41st first chapter of Genesis. And we're looking at the first few verses. And I never even realized how much was going on in these verses. A lot going on, but I purposefully just kind of sped myself up this week. And I didn't try to take apart all the verses. I'm sure if you deal with them slowly, you'd find something in there that's going to be helpful. You can't fool with God's word and not find something helpful. It's just by nature it does that. But as I was looking at the text and trying to come to some understanding of what we're looking at when we're dealing with Yosef and his life, the one verse I've been trying to get to for I don't know how many months, but it's not been just in this portion. When the Lord stopped me and I was dealing with set apart spirit and how important that is where I'm gonna try to, I don't know if it's maybe scurry on down to that verse quickly as I can so we can look at that together. Because what we see happening, and that's not until, you know, verse 38. So maybe y'all got to 38 last night. Anywhere close? So I got to scurry then. So what we'll do, there's no reason why we should rush ourselves today. We'll take chapter 41 from verse 1 and we'll work our way down to verse 38. Because that's where I'm going to pull the main part of the text today is from that verse. And with that, throughout the week, just, you know, trying to get there and think about it. And, you know, then trying to take, Lord, should I, as soon as I get there, you really got to redo the entirety of being filled with set apart spirit and how important it is. So do I take that whole entire thing, which is several hundred pages long, and just put it right there? Or can I pull the highlights of this and then let it then become real to us as your spirit leads us today? And I think the latter is going to be the case today. Because I looked at all of that, I went back all through that. And it takes some time to go back all through the Set Apart Spirit series that I was doing for briefly, that I never finished. I never finished it out. It was some 65 pages left that I never even talked to you about. And I'm going through all that, and I say, God, this is way too much for one setting. Can we just get a little bite from it? And if you'll open my understanding to it, I'll try to deliver that this morning. And this has been my all week just thinking about that 38th verse. But let's see why that's important, because what we have happening here is yourself, overall, he has to decide what 38 is going to introduce us to. And we don't really see it until we go into the renewed writings is really what we see, because Yosef's life becomes our life. Just like Yeshua's, how he got through things has to be the way that we get through things. It's no difference. Just because you're not Yosef doesn't mean God worked better with him than he can't work with you. And so just like Yeshua, his only begotten son, was able to get through things, I can get through things, but we got to let these things happen in us. And so we see these wonderful things. So let's take it, because this takes us so long, we got to take it from the top, just so we get an understanding of it. Okay, we'll just read it through. And it came to be at the end of 2 full years of time. And again, that word time, you could use the term days there, because that time there is yom. That Pharaoh had a dream and saw him standing by a river, the Nile River. Because the Nile represented life. Remember that. These are just, and I'll briefly just touch on these things. You should have been here and had these things, and you're working on these things actively every day in your life. Because you need, Word of God is built. It's laying one layer at a time, and he's stacking it. And so you should be living on these principles. And you may not need them today, but tomorrow you may need them. And they'll be important to your life. And I saw 7 cows coming up out of the river, beautiful looking and fat. Beautiful looking and fat. And they fed amongst the reeds. And I saw 7 other cows coming up after them out of the river, ugly and lean of flesh, and stood by the other cows on the banks of the river. And the ugly and lean flesh cows ate up the 7 beautiful cows. Now that seems to be odd. Seems like the well-fed and the strong ones will eat up the lean. That's how we want to preach it. You know, if you're going to church, keeping Shabbat, keeping the feast, and you're eating correctly, and you're doing all the right things, you ought to be winning. But this dream says the lean eats the ones that's doing well. So automatically, you're looking at this story and you go, okay, we got some problems. Well, Pharaoh's got problems. He's got real problems, so much that he's troubled. He's troubled and don't know how to reason in his mind. Now, you have to understand, Pharaohs in those days, especially in this Semitic time, they were recognized as gods. And they were supposed to be wise and have a lot of wisdom. Why am I saying that? I want you to remember that, because that's going to be, again, reinstituted back in 38. When we get to 38, we'll need to have that statement. They were considered to be people who are smart. And so because you're smart, you're the smart person, you surround yourself with what? Smart people. You don't surround yourself with dumb people. At the end of the day, you're all dumb. You're surrounding yourself with smart people. And so Pharaoh don't have some misfit cabinet going on. He's got something that's pretty unique. But he can't find no kind of help. With all the smartness that's there, he can't find no help. So then Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed a second time and saw 7 heads of grain coming upon one stalk, plump and good. Everybody say plump and good. That's how you felt right after Thanksgiving. Plump and good. Don't tell me you didn't. Maybe it didn't last but an hour, but it felt good at the time. After that, you might have felt sick and nauseated. Plump and good. And he saw seven lean heads scorched by an east wind coming up after them. And the seven lean heads swallowed the seven plump and complete heads. Then Pharaoh awoke and he saw that it was a dream. And it came to be in the morning that his spirit was moved, and he sent and called for all the magicians, all his smart people. He called for all the magicians of Mitzrayim and all its wise men. Let me see that. And Pharaoh related them his dream, but there was no one. Everybody say no one. There was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know, and none of his wise men knew, and none of his magic workers knew. Now, why magic workers? Because if they didn't know, they'd make up something. They were tricksters. They couldn't even come up with a trick to make Pharaoh get out of this troubleness he was feeling by what he had seen. Because it is. Seven well-favored or eaten by the lean. How are they going to have the energy to do that? So it was troubling to him. And God gave this dream to trouble him to get his attention and to give it to him twice at two different things that he could relate to. Remember that. They're relatable to Pharaoh. Pharaoh understood that this river that I'm standing by means life. And he'd be standing there like this. Look at this. I live in the most prosperous land there is. I live in America. Look at me. And all of a sudden, he shows you that what's being produced is seven plump, well-fed, well-fleshed. It's great. So, I mean, right at the beginning of his dream, it's all good. Then all of a sudden, his dream starts to crash. Then he says, seven ill-favored, ill-fleshed come up. They're grazing together, and all of a sudden, they eat up the other ones. Now I'm troubled. Because normally that wouldn't happen. Remember, he takes us from normal thinking to spiritual thinking. We come from a flesh mind now to a spiritual mind. So we're trying to find the spiritual application for us as we read the text. Because normal, that wouldn't happen. It's just not going to happen. If you plant in the garden and you're going out and you're looking at your corn and you go on you can see on the stalk and you got seven plump ears on that stalk. You go, wow, man, I must be putting the fertilizer right to that stalk. You come to the next one and it has seven, but they look like they've been beaten by an east wind and scorched. Which one you gonna pick? Automatic. It's no thinking. You gotta prepare a meal. You're not picking the scorched one that the kernels are all dried up and beaten. You just because it's not normal. That's why you wouldn't do what's normal. Because we're talking about coming from what's normal to supernatural, and he's trying to get Pharaoh to understand, and Pharaoh don't understand because to understand they're spiritually discerned. Remember that. And it's no different for us. Just because we're not in this time, what happens in our life, you can't understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. The things of God makes no sense to the natural man. No sense at all. As a matter of fact, when we think spiritual all the time, it's where when we start to get understanding, it's where you start to get revelation. It's where the mysteries are now being revealed because you're thinking spiritual. But when you think in the natural, that's why there's no breakthrough. That's why there's no victory because we think in the natural. And to be led by the flesh, if you're led by the flesh, you're going to wind up in destruction. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to wind up But like at that now, so it means life. You're led to life. And so, these are the principles that we see in the text later on, much like thousands of years later, we see these principles in the text that are being taught in chapter 41 of Genesis early on with a fellow by the name of Yosef. And at 17 years old, he's taken from his family, separated from everybody. He didn't have a girlfriend. He didn't have a mama. He didn't have a daddy. You want to talk about having it rough? This guy's got it rough. His brothers sold him, and they sold him into slavery. And so his life is not going good. Things are not going good. So you gotta ask yourself, where's this guy's inspiration coming from? Where's it coming from? Something's just not normal here. Where's his inspiration coming from? It wasn't self-made inspiration. It wasn't inspiration from a friend. He didn't have no friends. It wasn't inspiration because he joined the right club or the right social gathering. He didn't have any of those things. I was all stripped from him. Where was it coming from? It was coming because he was being led by the Spirit. There's no other way to explain it. Now, later on, we read about being led by the Spirit in Romans. But we're trying to understand what that means. We have no concept of 41. So we can't understand it fully. We're never going to understand it fully until we merge the two together. We have to bring them back together. We have to merge them together. Once we merge them together, then we see what it really means to be led by the Spirit. We see what it means. And so this is what the case that's being made for yourself. He's struggling. We know in the physical, but spiritually, he's on top of the world. How do you get there? How do you do that? Does anybody want to learn how to do that? Well, you can struggle physically, but spiritually be on top of the world. You might be weak in the flesh, but strong in the spirit. How do you accomplish that? Is it available for everyone? According to the Word of God, it's available to us. We read about it, but we don't know how to put it into action because we never merge them together. We don't understand how it works. And so we see that he has this. And so Pharaoh woke and saw that it was a dream. And it came to be in the morning that his spirit was moved. He was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians and Mithraim, the wise, and Pharaoh related them the dream, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my crimes this day. When Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, each one of us dreamed a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream, and there was with us a Hebrew youth, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we related to him, and he interpreted our dream for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to be, as he interpreted for us, so it came to be, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Yosef, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon and shaved and changed his garment and came to Pharaoh. And we dealt with that the last couple of weeks. Shaved and changed his garment. And if you wasn't here when we played with the clay, you missed a lot. And you have to get that and go get you some clay. Go by a dollar store. They sell packs of it. Get you some clay and sit down while you're listening to it. Get the clay first and listen to it and play with the clay while you're doing it. Because let me tell you, having it in your hand makes all the difference in the world than just by listening to it. Am I telling the truth? Having it in your hand and realizing that's you in his hands. That's what he has to do all the time. And unless you work with it, it's hard to get, unless you're feeling it, it's hard to even realize the job that God has when he works on us. He does this all the time. He's constantly working on us. And right as he's working on us and he's trying to get us pliable, all of a sudden we become mired in his hand. So what did he do? He takes all that out. What happened when you found your seeds in your clay? What did you do? You took them out one at a time and set them. I was watching some of you. You were sitting in front of you. And then you started. What you had to do after that? You had to put it all back together, because now you might have broke through it and it's not together no more, because you're trying to make your vessel, right? And so if you haven't listened to that part, go get you some clay first. I picked up some, but I don't even know what I did with it. And have the clay in your hand and then listen to it, because it makes a difference. At least I feel it does. And so this is the spot we dealt with the last couple of weeks. And now we see that he hurriedly brings up Joseph, changes his garment, he comes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Now, when he says no one, he means himself. And all the guys that's in my cabinet, my entourage, they're standing in the court of Pharaoh. The wise men, the magicians, all them guys are still there. They're all hanging out. And they're all shocked that he brought up a Hebrew from prison to stand before the most powerful man in the world. Again, where we're at, it makes no sense. Because he's going to take him now from the natural mind to a spiritual realm. Pharaoh don't know nothing about the spiritual realm. There's only one guy that God has been prepping for 13 years. He's been prepping this guy, getting him ready to be ready. Now, you can't take somebody to a spiritual realm if you haven't been there. If you don't operate in the Spirit, you can't teach anybody about the Spirit. You know nothing about it. You can read all the books you want. You know nothing about it. You know absolutely nothing about it. You say, well, I did this. You know nothing about it. You got to experience it. And that's what Joseph was doing. He didn't realize what he was doing even. He didn't have the full picture, but he trusted God. In the spirit realm, that's how you are. You may not have the full picture, but you trust God. When it's all said and done, you'll let everything go by, but you're going to trust God. That's operating in the spiritual realm. And so this is what we see happening with Joseph. He's now brought before all these people, and he's told he's dreamed this dream, and nobody can interpret it. No one can interpret it. Now, I myself have heard. This is what Pharaoh said. Now, I myself have heard of you that you understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, how do we know he's operating in the spirit? Because this is his time to shine. He's been picked on all his life. He's been outcast all of his life. Ever since his mom, who Jacob loved more than anybody, had him, he'd been picked on. It's his time. He's brought before the most powerful man in the world. It would be like taking me from Venice, Louisiana, and put me before the most powerful man of the United States, which would be Trump here in a few months here, in a couple months. And he asked me for advice. This is the situation Joseph's in. Now we're going to really find out if what God's been working in him has been worked in him. What God has been rubbing in him, has it really worked? What he made him to be, is it really going to be able to hold it together? Because it's his time. He's now cleaned up. He's got brand new clothes on. He's been shaved and he is clean. He is handsome. He is the one to look at. And this whole entourage is looking. They're going, okay, what's happening here? And Yosef answers this way. And Yosef answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. Let Elohim answer Pharaoh with peace." Now, our translation says peace. The term is shalom there, and we assume what when we say shalom? What we assume? We assume peace. That is not the definition that should be here. The definition that's here, that Elohim will give Pharaoh the fulfillment. Go look up shalom and see how broad it is. It's so much broader than just peace. So we always have this, we generalize everything. And we do that as Americans in English. We have generalized interpretation, we generalize everything. But Hebrew don't generalize. It pulls stuff out and categorizes and stamps it and circles it, makes sure nothing can intrude. It protects the message. Now, translators, again, we generalize things. We're trying to translate it into English. We use the term peace. But that should be translated fulfillment. Completion. These are terms of shalom. But we get so captivated in generalization, we just want to apply. When you say shalom, we think everybody says is saying peace. Now I'm not only saying peace to you, but I'm believing that you have a fulfilled life, a complete life. If you understand this full definition, it's more than just generalization, and we should never do that. Now, Let me tell you who knew about this shalom. Yosef knew about it. Now, he wasn't experiencing these things to his full capacity yet, but he's about to. If it's going to be coming all at one time, when you're getting ready. And this should be important. You say, well, how do you know you're getting ready? Has it come yet? No, well, you're getting ready still. But my question is, when you're getting ready, are you getting ready for it? Have you lost your anticipation? Have you lost your wanting it because you're tired of waiting? We have to understand that. You know, you dream the dream, and the time from the time you dream the dream until its fulfillment, many people lose their dream. They lose their, when they first had the dream, you couldn't tell enough people. You would just blah, 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 blah. And it was just on and on. And 2 years went by and there's no blah, 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 blahs there. And now 4 years it went by and it's a blah. You're telling nobody. And God's wondering, I don't know if he really wants it. It went from blah, 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 blah to a blah. Come on now. And so that can go with healing, that can go with breakthrough financially, all these things we pray for, and we're on board with it. You get on board when you're in pain. When you feel the struggle, you're on board 100%, but you got a little relief, but you never have a full healing, but you're good, you're satisfied with half a healing. And we move on from it. Forgetting that we ask God for total, complete healing. That's what we asked him for. But he sees that we settle for other things. And so we're gauged by that. If he's writing it down, what's this record that he has for you? When he looks at the record, well, he settled just for half. He normally does this. You know, it meant so much to him. He's believing God for a breakthrough. I'm believing God for a breakthrough. And all of a sudden he settles for half. That's his record. You know, in Joseph's case, every position he was put in, God brought him to the top every time. We don't see him not going to the top every time. He was at the bottom of the pit and he was brought to the top of the pit. He was a bottom slave in Potiphar's house, brought to the top slave. He was the bottom prisoner in prison, brought to the head of the prison. Now he's going to be in Pharaoh's court. Where he's going to bring him now? What's his record? What's his record? Because he had a record, there was only one place God could bring him, and that was to the top. Does this make sense to everybody? Because it sure makes a lot of sense to me. We settle. And we can't settle. We just can't settle because we feel better. You want the full thing. You want the full, complete thing. God, that's what I asked you for, and that's what you said I can have. Why would I settle for half of it? And so Pharaoh says to yourself, I hear it said, you're the man. But Rob pointed this out, we have to watch what we boast in. We have to be careful because it's appealing when you have an accomplishment to boast in yourself. It's like you're not normal doing that. That's normal. But we're not talking about staying in the normal lane. Remember what we were talking about getting? In the spiritual lane, not in the natural lane, but in the spiritual lane. That's exactly where this text takes us as we continue reading. He said, it's not in me, not in me, but let Elohim answer Pharaoh with peace, with fulfillment, with completeness. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, in my dream I stood on the banks of the river and saw seven cows coming out of the river, beautiful looking and fat, and they fed amongst the reeds. Do you notice something here that's really got me when I was reading this? That Pharaoh never even took a breath after Joseph answered him. He went right into repeating what he had dreamed. He never even took a breath. He didn't say, well, you know, come on, Joseph. There was no conversation there. He went straight into the dream. After Joseph set the record straight, let him know, I didn't come here to play games. I came here to go to the top. Somebody came in there and said, hurry up. And I hurried up. I shaved. I changed. And now I'm here. But you ain't going to give none of that praise to me. Because only one deserves that glory and that praise, and that's the Most High. And that's that. So why do we see that settled? There was not a conversation. It's settled. It settled deep inside of Pharaoh. It settled deep inside of Joseph's spirit. He went straight into the dream. I thought that was something to pay attention to right there. Straight into the dream, he starts telling him about the dream. Now we already heard the dream. It's being told in the story form, but now it's being repeated. And Pharaoh says, seven cows coming up out of the river, beautiful looking and fat, and they fed amongst the reeds. And then he saw seven other cows coming up after them, poor and very ugly and lean flesh, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Mitzrayim. Such ugliness I've never seen in all the land of Mitzrayim. So this is mind-blowing stuff to Pharaoh. Now, if you want to go and study that, there's been ugly days in Mitzrayim. This is not the first time there would have been ugly. There was no doubt there were, because there were, this is not the first famine that Egypt goes through here. Go look at the history of Egypt. But the one they're about to go through, they've never seen in their life. And we're being told that. See, when it comes to end times, what happens in end times, this is stuff you've never seen before. You're not going to look back in history and say, man, it must have been, it's like back then. There'd be no back then to compare it to. We're talking about a level that you've never seen before. And that's just kind of bringing it into reality today. We read the text, but we don't cross lanes, right? We just kind of, so let's stay on track, Pastor. But listen, these words that's being said, because we don't see that language in the first telling. When he tells the dream to the magicians and the wise men, that little part is not put in there. So it's making emphasis. Don't forget, this is like anything I've seen. Such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Mitzrayim. Let me see that. And the lean of flesh and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. Again, there's that. Seems like fat cows is eating up everything. That's how you get fat. You're looking at lean people, they don't eat anything. The difference is these lean cows eat the fat and they still lean. It didn't help them any. Then the lean flesh and the ugly cows ate up the first seven of the fat cows. Yet when they had eaten them up, no one would have known they had eaten them, for they were ugly as at the beginning. Then I woke. You couldn't tell that they did anything. You couldn't tell. Now, I can imagine after Thanksgiving, after you ate, people can tell you ate because you get this slight lean. You know, you get this slight lean, you kind of take a breath. You got to help the wind go in you. You know, you got. Because you ate, so you can tell you ate. But Pharaoh says they ate and you couldn't tell they ate. Also, I looked in my dream and saw seven heads coming up on one stalk, complete and good. Then saw seven heads withered, lean, scorched by an east wind coming up after them. And the lean head swallowed the seven good heads. I spoke to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. I told it to them. Remember, their court's there. They got the court, the whole court of the pharaohs there, and they're all standing there, and they're all dressed to the nine. They're all getting paychecks from the government. Joseph's got brand new clothes on, just a tunic, a shaved face. He's clean for the first time in 13 years. And Pharaoh says, I told it to them, but they didn't tell me nothing. And I imagine they're rustling over there. Hey, are you getting anything this time? Is anything coming to you? Nothing coming to me. What about you? No, I ain't getting nothing. I don't get the lean and the eat the fat and they stay lean. That's throwing me off. You see the dilemma? So what does God have to do to fix this dilemma? Now, how bad of a dilemma is this? If they don't get it right, the whole world dies. Sometimes, you know, if you can't get it right, what if you not getting it right affected your whole family? Maybe we could slow ourselves down and figure out the decisions I make is important, because it can really matter how my family makes it. So somebody got to get it right. In this case, we see that Jehovah made certain that he had positioned him somebody who could get it right for the whole world. Yaakov wasn't getting it. He had all of his brothers, 10 other brothers, 11 with Benjamin. They weren't getting it. So God's got to put him his guy in the spot. And in the case of Yosef, the spot God had to put him in seemed like the wrong spot. Remember, we're all about picking the right timing, the right spot, the right words, the right message. That's what our job is. We ain't going to be doing the wrong thing. We don't pray, God, what's your spot? What's your message? What do you want? That's most important. That's more value than you can even imagine. And that's important to God. It's valuable to him. And so you can't read the text. At least I can't. I can't read the text and not allow him to open up my understanding as I'm reading. Because he knows, he's the writer of it. I'm just reading it. But he's not going to open you up to any of that unless you apply yourself to the text. You have to apply your mind to the text. Lord, every part of me, every fiber of my being, I want you, God, to open my understanding to it. So they're asking each other, do you get anything? I don't get anything. Because you can't get a spiritual understanding in a natural way. And that's a lesson we all have to learn. You don't understand the spiritual significance of the word, the message, in a natural way. You're trying to do something that's impossible to do. So it creates what? Frustration. We get frustrated and we say, I'm just not getting anywhere. It's not working for me. I just know I didn't mean to try something else. And we have the whole world just kind of, you know, between two decisions. We're trying to understand a spiritual matter in a natural way, and it don't work. He said, the natural man does not. Does anybody understand what does not? Does not understand the things of God. It's a natural. It's a natural way. You don't understand the things of God. So you have, they're spiritually discerned. Well, if they're spiritually discerned, you have to have set apart spirit come and activate your spirit to make that spiritual connection, or you won't understand God. God's speaking to you, but you don't understand the thing he's saying. He's trying to share with you, but you're not getting it. And you're frustrated, but you can't be frustrated. You got to learn how this works. You got to fine tune. Just tune into it. Just squeeze in a little closer to him. Press your face against the tent. Get a little closer to him and understand he's got you. You got to trust him. And let me tell you, the more you go through these things, you'll see how the hand of God begins to work. So he sees these things. He told it to these men, but none could explain it to me. And Yosef said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Again, here's one of my stop points. There was no time in between. There was no hesitation. Yosef went right into the dream of Pharaoh's one. He's the first guy ever told me anything about these dreams. I told him two dreams. He said they're one. You see it? There's not a verse in between here. After he says these guys couldn't tell me nothing, you see, there's no verse in between. He automatically goes right into it and says the dreams are one. He starts to interpret immediately because it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Now you're going to have spiritual yourself speaking to natural Pharaoh. Let's see how this works. We're going to show you how Pharaoh has to calm his natural mind down and take Yosef at his word, or the whole kingdom's lost. Now understand that this loss is not just going to be the rest of the world. This is the end of Mitzrayim, period. It won't exist after, if they don't get this right, it won't exist. So the Semitic leadership coming in at that particular time, the Hexos, remember that when Brother Rob brought that out to us? Are we listening? Are we sitting down paying attention? The Hexos. What was the Hexos? Period. It was the time where they came in. There was not even a battle. So if you're looking for a war in Egypt, there was no war. They walked in and said, this looks like a good place. I think we'll take it. And they took it because they were that big. It was Semitic people, nomadic, and they took Egypt over. It was a cousin of Yosef. And so now, it's not like there's not potential here. There has to be spiritual potential in order for God to deliver a message in the spirit. I have to show you that because when we talk about Pharaoh, we assume Pharaoh. That's our assumption. You're assuming wrong. Pharaoh's not Pharaoh. There were many Pharaohs, and they weren't all Gentile Pharaohs. Some were Semitic. The Hexos period, again, proves that. Now, that's not something you'll learn going to Sunday school. Ain't nobody digging that far because it takes time. But how God worked out every detail. He made sure everything was in place. Can you imagine the detail God had to take before he could call earth, earth? What kind of detail is it that he made sure that everything on the earth was set in place that it could sustain life? Every element had to be there. If we take one component of what brings that out, we take one of the components out, it doesn't have the ability. The fact that we walk around, we breathe oxygen. Let's remove one component of that whole, the way it works, and it don't work. But God had to make sure everything was in place, and he saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. He saw that he put everything in place. Then he could step. He said, now it's done. And he waited till he had done everything. Till the sixth day he made man. Then he started creating all these different creations. And now he's got man. And on the seventh day he rested because he finished. Everything man needs to get close to God, he had. Image and likeness, all of that to boot. But sin, once sin penetrated into that realm, that sin had no place to be, it penetrated that realm through a seed of doubt. All it had to do was insert one little seed into the mind of Eve to doubt God said this. God didn't really say that, because if you eat, you'll be as God. Or a God, knowing good and evil. Think about that. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, Yosef said to Pharaoh, and Yosef said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. That's part of the interpretation. And Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Now here we see Elohim working with an imperfect man, and all counts, Pharaoh is not even saved. He has the potential to be saved. He is built to be saved, but he's not. I mean, we back up just a few verses before, and we see that we know that he's involved in this God named Ra. This God named Ra. This sun god. And isn't it amazing to you how they're fighting this sun god or this sun worship? And it's the same thing we're fighting around the world today, this sun worship. You know why? Same spirit. Now, when we talk about spirits, there are many different spirits. But there's only one set apart spirit. That's why it's set apart. Only one. Not 5, 6, 12, 13. One set apart spirit who in itself could splinter out into a menorah. Has that effect? Seven spirits. But how many menorahs are up here? One. How many lights? So this is not God has to change to fix the problem. God knows the end from the beginning from the end. So if you think your problem is new, he's been through it already. There's nothing new to God. Nothing new under the sun, he said. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing. There's no... you're not going to go to prayer and say, God, you ain't going to believe this. Let me tell you, this week, you ain't going to believe it. God said, go and try. You tell him and he just tells you, hey, I dealt with that about... Back, way back then, way over here, I dealt with that 150,000 times. We just think it's new. It's new because it just hit you. And once it hits you for the first time, it's new to you, but not new to God. And so we give our issues uniqueness, and then we're trying to pray through the uniqueness we give it, and trying to penetrate into the spiritual realm, and we can't because it's so unique and so difficult, there's no way God can fix it. Yosef went through all these feelings. There was a lot of new stuff happening to Yosef. But God wasn't, you ever notice one thing, God wasn't like shocked by any of it? I just wonder, I don't know, we don't have any record of it. But I just wonder how many tears Yosef cried in 13 years. I'm sure there were many, many, many nights that he could only weep. Especially when we think about his mom. Or we'd see another guy with his girl. Or a man with his wife, he'd see him and he's sitting there and saying, okay, where am I so bad? What is it? And he's just thinking about, so it had been many, many tears, many difficulties. And so now God's got him in the highest court of the land, in front of the most powerful person in the world, and he's asking advice from yourself. And Yosef just stands there and says, God, I want to let you flow through this vessel. Take me from the natural to the spirit. And I'll speak whatever you tell me. I'll speak it as I hear it. I'll speak it. And that's what he starts doing. The dreams are one. The moment he said that, it like a light came on. There was nothing he wouldn't know after that. The story don't tell us. He knew everything after that. But the moment his faith was released to trust that God, because you know the pressure that was on yourself to spew that out of his mouth? He's before all the wisest men of Egypt. the wisest, all the tricksters, the magic workers, the soothsayers, they're all standing there. You talk about pressure? You talking about, you got one pulpit up here. We get up here and sometimes the sweat's pouring. You were talking about pressure. He's under pressure. Not to mention, he's before the most powerful man in the world. Yet, he knows his God and the power of his God. He has already acknowledged that everything he knows is from his God. And so he makes that statement, the dreams of one. Instantly when that happened, now he's on a roll. And we'll see it. It starts to just come out. He starts to explain this to Pharaoh. And the seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. It's one dream. It's one dream. If it's one dream, why give it to him twice? There's a reason for that under God's provision of dreams. The reason is, if I gave it to you twice, you can't pray and ask me to not let it come. It's coming. I'm giving you the warning to get ready for it. You can't pray, I don't want it. It's coming. Now you better get yourself ready. Nothing's going to stop what's coming. And I tell you, what's coming, nothing's going to stop it. But we've been given information how to prepare to be ready for what's coming. And so this is what he's telling Pharaoh. He starts talking about these seven good or 7 years. And everything he's saying is making sense to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's receiving it. And the seven lean and the ugly cows, which came up after them, are the 7 years, and the seven empty heads scorched by the east wind are 7 years of scarcity of food. Now that's the negative in the dream right there. Scarcity of food. This famine. So we have the first negative in the dream. He seeks in that by explanation. Now we have the dream, but we don't know what it means. Now we know what it means because God's revealing the dream. And the first negative of the dream being revealed is 7 years of scarcity of food. So now we have a total of how many years in the dream? 14. So we have a 14-year period that we learned because Joseph opened his mouth and said the dreams are one. Just because he stepped out in faith. He stepped out in faith, read one verse, now he reads 100 verses. Or 200. It doesn't matter. When you step out in faith, you've seen God do it many times. But how many know we're so good, we're good at pulling the reins back rather than continue going? Why? Because we're being done what? Led by the Spirit. We're being led by the Spirit. We're not going to pull back. It's not time to be slacked. It's no time to pull back. It's time to be led by the Spirit. So I'm still trying to get to my verse here. I may or may not do it. This is the word which I spoke to Pharaoh. Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Notice that again. This is the word which I spoke to Pharaoh. Now he's just telling us, he's giving the reader some understanding. He said, this is what I told Pharaoh. Elohim is showing Pharaoh what he's going to do. Because can you imagine right now he sucked all of them in? They all got out their seats and they all coming close to yourself. All the wise men, all the magic workers and soothsayers. And they got Pharaoh's attention. Now they're surrounding Joseph, and there he is, and he's got them all sucked in. And as if there's a moment, he could just sit back and blow his chest out and say, yeah, finally I got mine. Instead, he humbles himself and says, this is what I told Pharaoh, Elohim is letting you know what he's about to do. I'm just the messenger here. That's all I am. I'm just giving you the message today. What Elohim's going to do, there ain't nothing I can do to stop it, nor you. He's going to do what he's going to do. See, 7 years of great plenty are coming in all the land of Mitzrayim. That's a positive. Right there, everybody's, everybody's, you know, riled in. He riled them in. 7 years of great plenty are coming in all the land of Mitzrayim. Your economy is going to do great. Everybody's going to get out of debt. It's going to be wonderful. You got everybody's attention. But after, everybody say after. But after them, 7 years of scarcity of food shall rise, and all the plenty be forgotten in the land of Mitzrayim, and the scarcity of food shall destroy the land of Mitzrayim. There's no clapping no more. The clapping done went away. Do you see the story? Clapping's gone. The happy times is over with. We went from joy and shouting to, I mean, now we're crying and complaining and we're in the Mardi Gras. We're having a difficult, this is hard to hear. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, you can talk about people, you know, just having a great time and just have a good old time, but then you got to stop. The music at some point is going to stop, and you got to open up the book. You got to open up the record, and you read the record, and sometimes the record scares you. Sometimes the record is telling you, you got to get ready. What are we getting ready for? Joseph's explaining it to him. And so he takes them, how many see this roller coaster of emotions? This whole court is there and they're all in a roller coaster of emotions. And the plenty shall be remembered in the land because of the scarcity of food flowing, for it is very severe. Very severe. He's not holding anything back. He's giving him details of what measure of intensity this is going to be. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the word is established by Elohim. And Elohim is hastening to do it. So he's telling them, we have no time. He brought yourself out of the prison in just the right of time because guess what? It's starting now. Because everybody wants, when is it going to start? I gotta figure out how I'm going to get myself ready. When is it going to start? Now. Blah, now. Woo. That's what we do. We get excited, you know, when you got to be ready, right now. What now? So this is what Yosef's telling me. He said, listen, and it starts now. It's a panic. And so we have to make sure that we do everything possible in the 7 good years to be the smartest and wisest nation there is to be. We can't miss opportunities when God gives us an opportunity to have relief. Now, I think that's the period we're in. Or we're in the latter part of that. But somewhere along those lines, you cannot afford to miss an opportunity to get it together. Because the next thing, you get nothing together. It only takes. It only gobbles up. It's devastating. And nothing you can do about it. You can't do a thing about it. Because what's so severe, when it comes, you can't have the right money to protect your wealth. I don't care if it's gold, silver, crypto, don't make a difference. So don't wrap yourself up in what I should do. What you should do is go with God. Because those who go with God, they're going to win. Because it's nothing's going to be protected. Do you understand that? Nothing will be protected. It's that severe. It will gobble it up in a heartbeat. When you thought you were safe, when you're sitting around saying, I'm safe, I got this, and all of a sudden it's gone, and you put all your hype, you put everything on that, and now it's taken away, it's crushing. It's demeaning. It disables you. You get disabled. You don't know what to do. And that's not what God wants for his people. And so this is Joseph. He's telling them this stuff. He's relaying this message to him. Maybe I was supposed to get on my message next Shabbat. Because I'm not making it today. I thought I'd just re-breeze through this. I said, God, I'm sure you'll give me a few remembrances here as I go through this. You'll bring to my mind some things, but I'll scurry right on through it, and we'll get to 38. God's definition of scurry was different from mine today. The plenty shall not be remembered in the land because of the scarcity of food following, for it is very severe. And the dream was repeated twice to Pharaoh. The word is established by Elohim, and Elohim is hastening to do it. And now, very important scripture right here. One of the most important scripture of this entire 41. This is one of them. And when? Now. Not later. What is this scripture? Why is it important? Because it says, and now. So when you say now to somebody, do you mean tomorrow? Do you mean an hour later? Keep answering me. When you say now to somebody, you mean now. And when it's coming to God, he don't mean a minute later. Because God is serious. We play with our words. We play with stuff we're doing. But God don't play with words. And now. So when we're talking about now, what does he do? He just took everybody's, their whole minds are spinning. Remember, he's got the smartest in Mitzrayim there. He's got the magicians, the tricksters, the soothsayers. They're all there. And I can imagine the wheels are spinning because they're hearing this interpretation. They're figuring, planning, and yeah, I'll do this, and I'll do that. Until he says now. And now, all of a sudden, your planning goes out the window. I thought we had a little time to get ready. And he says, and now. Let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man. Well, here they are. They're all here. All the best ones he could find. He brought them in a couple days ago and told them that none of them could help him. And set him over the land of Mitzrayim. Now that right there, sometimes, depending on what court you're in, that could be fighting words. Set him over the land of Mitzrayim? Who's Pharaoh? He's over the land of Mitzrayim. Yosef is saying, choose a man and set him over the land. Now Pharaoh's got to caution himself that he don't go, okay, you want the land? We'll fight for the land. Pharaoh's got to calm himself down. He's got to realize that Yosef's not down trying to offend him, but he's telling him, if you were the man, you wouldn't have to call me out to prison to interpret this. You'd already knew it. You didn't know it because it's a spiritual thing and you're trying to understand it in a natural way. Same thing with all these guys. They're all natural thinkers, natural thinkers. And the spirit they're tapping into is not the Ruach. They tapped into spirits, but it ain't the spirit of God. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Mitzrayim. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint overseers over the land to take up. Now, this is Yosef. He's just freshly coming out of the interpretation. And he's giving detailed information. Notice what he says. Let him take up one-fifth of the land of Mitzrayim in the 7 years of plenty. This is great information with all the people around. They're all here. I'm sure they're all writing it down. Hey, what did he say? One-fifth? Yeah, one-fifth. They're all paying attention. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the hand of Pharaoh. He just reeled Pharaoh back in. He was losing him for a little while. He said, well, let me bring him back in. Let me bring him back in so he don't feel so bad. Under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Now that part right there, I can't even tell you how important that is. Let them keep food in the cities. Because once the scarcity of food comes, you don't want to have people have to travel for distant days to get food. Let them keep food in the cities. Wherever this, and if you look at, you can go look up how and at this particular time, how the land would have been set up strategically and city-wise. There were many cities. There were multiple places in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was big. And there were many cities, and they didn't have to come from this part of Mitzrayim and travel clean across the country. And just like in the United States, we have many cities. We don't have one city. We have many cities. And so if we had the same problem here, we would start. We would, and then within our states, we have cities. And within our states, we have counties or parishes. In Louisiana's case, parishes. And so if there's scarcity of food, we would want to set up a place that we could get to fairly quick to get food during the scarcity of time. Now, if you live far away from that particular city, you pick the next closest city to that group. So we have New Orleans, right? So we'd have a place set up for the Plaquemines can access the St. Bernard Parish, Jefferson Parish can access that, Orleans Parish, and so forth and so on. But you wouldn't want Plaquemines to have to go to Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge, they would set up there. They would have all the people, and then you have Shreveport, and so you understand that's what Yosef is talking about. He said, "Let's set up in the cities. We're collecting this food." And his land's going to do, he said, it's going to be amazing how it's going to do. We've got to collect one-fifth. Now, you have to understand, here's Yosef telling them, they're already being taxed. This is the Hyksos period, and this is not somebody they particularly like, the Egyptians. They don't like them, but they can't do nothing about it. Because they were bad to the bone. They come in, say, how you doing, buddy? Take your kingdom without a fight. They were skilled. They were masterful. So they didn't like them. They despised them. It's one thing about taking somebody's whole land, but you fought them for it, and you lost. Then you humble yourself. You take the loss. What if you never fought them? That can be real more demeaning because they took it without a fight. And so they were being taxed. They're already being taxed, 10%. Yosef says take 1/5. That's another, that's a 20% tax. He's not your favorite no more. He's telling you to tax us more. We don't, nobody likes taxes. Tax us more. So automatically, Yosef is not the guy we want. Scratch him off the list. Yosef's not our guy. He's talking about this 1/5 to tax more? Why tax more? And the food shall be for you, for a store for the land, for the 7 years of scarcity of food, which shall be in the land of Mizraim, and do not let the land be cut off by the scarcity of food. And the word was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. Let me see that. And the word was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. How many? All his servants. Because remember, all those people that were there, wise men, musicians, that this text says are there. The text is telling us who's there. So how do we know who's there? Text told us. Now he calls them servants because they were all servants. All of them were serving Pharaoh. They were there for Pharaoh. They weren't there for themselves. They were there for Pharaoh. They were there to, whatever Pharaoh needs, we're here for it. But when it came time to interpret the dream, they couldn't help him. Because it's a spiritual matter. You're trying to understand a spiritual matter in a natural way. You can't do it. So God's got to set up his spiritual man, his Savior, to a country that don't even love God. He got to give them a Savior, because if they don't send a Savior, they die. All of them die. What does that sound like? You think he didn't do this overall? He took this snapshot and said, let me show you. I'm going to take this snapshot. I'm going to do it overall, and this is going to be my masterpiece here. If I don't put my Savior in position for the world and they won't listen to his words, they're going to be in trouble. But if they listen to his words and do what he says, I'll be able to save the world. The goal, God's not in the game to destroy the world. Now, the world's going to be destroyed. Let's not kid ourselves. But it's not because God's in that game. He's just going to be the great destroyer. But he's going to make sure his Savior was in position to make sure everybody that wants to follow his Savior would be saved through the catastrophic thing that's going to happen. And we see that through the scripture. And again, all these little things I'm saying, these are messages that are just popping off the page. You can go later and look at them because they're powerful. And so we see that, again, this is what we see being laid out for us. The word was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And I'm going to stop there because my verse is next. And I got my 5-minute card. So the verse I was trying to get to was 38. But the reason I can't just go to 38, because we're looking at every verse, right? And 38, to get its full meaning. Now next week, you're fully prepared for 38. Now, I didn't know that. I thought, because I was fully prepared for that, 38 today. I was. Just because I was don't mean we were. And so I have to yield to God. I don't get to do what I want to do, because what I wanted to do was do 38. Now we're ready for 38. Now when I read 38 and go into the side text for 38, you'll fully see it. It's absolutely incredible once we grab hold to what's said in that 38 verse, the power that's there. We don't really fully understand what's being said by Pharaoh, a natural man saying something spiritual and don't even realize it. That's what happens when God gets close to you, even though it's through agency. And where did God have his man? In the same court, in the same room, right in the middle of them. When God gets his man, his agency, close to you, you start understanding things more spiritual. And that's where we'll be next week in this. We'll look at it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. And hopefully I'll be better prepared for it. Because obviously I wasn't as prepared as I needed to be this morning because I never got there. So thank God he took us this way so we can get better prepared. Amen. And so you can believe I will spend way more time this week on it. And I already got more than I need for it. But you can always add more. So I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. Thank God for everybody's prayers.